Good evening and welcome to another episode of Being Mindful. My name is Noma and in the studio with me is Lillian and Pastor Deji. This is going to be the last one for a while after this episode. Well, after this one, we're going to go on a short break for 2 weeks and then we will be back. Being Mindful is a show where we discuss about different challenges and matters that affect us as Christians in our day-to-day lives. So I'm being distracted
by who?
By the whispering over here.
Whispering?
So we are glad to be here. Unfortunately, we found out that there was not a replay for last week's session where we had a guest, and that's really sad because we had someone really, really amazing in the person of Michael Earl. Yeah, it was really good. I mean, that was the first Being Mindful I actually was like taking notes, but hopefully we'll have him again sometime soon in the future. Now, if you're just joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, this is a show, like I was saying, where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted with different kinds of concerns in our Christian lives. As always, during the show, we would love to hear from you. We are not talking at you, we're talking with you and to you. So if you want to get in touch with us, the easiest way to do that is to contact us using the PHBC Radio app. Just tap on the link to connect to the studio and send us a message directly. If you're on social media, you can also contact us there using any of our social media channels. Just use the handle at PHBC London to find us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. And any message you send during the show will directly come to us in the studio. So as is our tradition here on Being Mindful, we have this thing where we say what's on your mind. We go around the table and we share different things that we have been meditating on, chewing on. And so I'll start from Lillian and then we'll go to Pastor Deji. So Lillian, what is on your mind?
What's on my mind today is about pausing. And just pausing, I guess, from not so much from the busyness, but just taking time out just to, I don't know, I guess deepen my awareness of God, tune into God. And it's interesting because I made a decision to pause on some things. And later on this afternoon, when I tuned into YouTube, a video popped up and it was around pausing. This wasn't the exact title, but the conversation was around pausing from doing a lot of things as a cure for burnout. So I was like, okay, I know I'm not on the verge of burnout, but it was interesting that video should pop up. But there was different aspects they were talking about: pausing, the importance of spending time in stillness, the importance of spending time in silence, and how in this busy world we don't tend to do enough of that. So I just took that as a direction from God, like, yeah, you're on the right track. And I was like, okay, cool. So that's what's been on my mind is pausing.
I think pausing is pausing. Pausing isn't pausing important? Hmm. You know, I think that too often we live in a society that is, it's what's the word? It's opposite. It's the, you know, it says pause for what? No, keep going, get it, press on, catch it, make the money, you know, score, win. We don't
speed fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Hurry,
absolutely. You know, I say to people, I said to somebody today, I was with a friend, a sister, and I said to her, what's your opinion of the refugee situation? You know, and straight away we were having a conversation about it, you know. But we could have that conversation because even though I haven't watched the news, as it were, for a few days, I get it on my phone. I can go on the internet, bam, I know exactly what's going on. I know what's going on in Niger. and, you know, with the coup and the Russian influence, you know, because we live in a society that says you can have it now, mm. and you're entitled to have it now, mm. and you don't have to wait for it. You can have it now. You can have it first. Mm. Okay, mm. you know. So it's quite interesting to hear that, and I think maybe that's something for not just for more than you.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, pausing is the essence of what I do in my work. And that's just born out of past health experiences. But, society doesn't prioritise pausing, doesn't prioritise mm. resting, like mm. you said. You know, we're expected to have access to ourselves, to other people, to information 24/7. Even, you know, I know people who will still scroll on their phones 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Even if they fall asleep at, say, 10 o'clock and they wake up in the middle of the night, instead of helping themselves to get back to sleep, they'll instantly pick up their phone and see, oh, what's going on?
Do you know, I read something somewhere that one of the worst things you can do, if you wake up in the middle of the night, maybe you went to the bathroom or something woke you up, is to check the time on your phone.
That's correct.
And you know, some, you know, there's a tendency, I often do that. If I'm going to the bathroom, I'm like, ooh, what time is it? You know, ooh, mm. you know, have I, and sometimes it's a, have I slept enough? Mm. And, well, I don't even know anymore. Mm. Maybe the beginning was, have I slept enough? The beginning was, I'm just curious. The beginning was, is it morning already? Is it, you know, particularly as the nights get longer when you hit winter time, it's easy to lose track, you know. Mm. But when I read that, I thought, actually, why do you need to know what time it is at 4:30? Mm. Just go to sleep. am I wrong here?
No, I mean, I'm the same. When I'm woken up in the early hours of the morning, mm. I do. I've got a clock with no backlight. Mm-hmm. It's a digital mm-hmm. one. So I look at that. So that doesn't.
There's no glare.
You don't, exactly. Mm-hmm. So no blue rays get into my eyes. But I'm cautious I want to know, okay, what time is it and how much more hours have I got left until I wake up? Because I love my sleep. I really do love my sleep.
Yeah. And so I'm really grateful. I think that we need to think more about pausing. Okay.
So that's pause for thought.
Hey, did you see what
you ever? All right, Pastor Deji, what's on your mind, or is it also pausing as well?
No, mine is actually the opposite. Mine's like, go get it, go get them, you know, go Jetters. Not quite the opposite. That's a, you know, a joke. What's on my mind is that we are 12 days away from the largest or the most significant event, outreach event, mm-hmm. Community event, church event in the calendar of Pollard Hill Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. What's on my mind is, you know, we're it's on the 26th of August, as you know, and some of you on the show, some of you listening know what's happening on the 26th of August. It's the Pollard Hill Community Fun Day. Whoop, yay! Whoop. And we have a number of, I was really hoping I could absolutely confirm the guests on the show, at the event. Mm. I can confirm one, and there's one that's still a little bit tentative. We had a conversation this afternoon, but he was in training. So his people haven't absolutely confirmed yet. So we have Manuel Asukwo, who's a very well-known, very well-regarded finance expert. This guy, you know, you want to buy a house, this guy's talking. ISAs, he's the guy. Mortgage, yeah. Savings, he's the guy. You know, investments, he's the guy. He's a fully qualified finance guy. He's actually a Christian, you know, and he, you know, he's worked in the industry for a while, and then he just felt this tug on his heart to say, you know, I need to go help some people. I need to go tell some people some stuff. Mm. And he's written a book, which I think is absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. We've got some of his books to give away. We've got copies of his book. So we'll be giving those away. Absolutely fantastic. And it's written in plain English, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so he's coming. He's definitely coming. We'll have some time to talk to him on the stage and just talk about some bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. There's a second person who I do not want to name, but this person is a Premier League footballer.
Oh.
Yeah. And but his people haven't given us that final confirmation. Mm-hmm. So he's the one. He's the other one that we're hoping will come. But this year is going to be great. And today we went to Mbali. You know, this. I was saying to Lillian earlier on, you know, carrying 1,000 cartons of juice, you think, oh, that's no big deal. Yeah, it's a workout. Trust me. My body's singing right now. Yeah. So I was just thinking, you know, we're in those final stages. Not the first one, it's the third one we're doing. Wow. And we're so excited about it. Oh, you know, so yeah, yeah. Tell somebody if you're listening. So that's what's on my mind is, you know what? Trust God that it's going to be good. It's going to be great. Trust God it's, you know, it's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be safe.
We're going to have good weather.
We're going to have good weather. Yeah. You know, we're just trusting God for, you know, for everything. And people will get out of it what they're meant to get out of. It's health and well-being. We're waiting on the National Trust to confirm that. And we've been trying to get them to bring garden plants, potted plants. Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, they did this and they just came with a truckload of plants. And just give out plants. Take one plant in your garden or leave it in the pot and water it on your windowsill. They just gave out, you know, flowering plants to everybody that wanted one until they'd run out. There was another organization that came and just gave out literally a carrier bag of fruit and veg. Yeah, and they came, I think they had some like 400 fruit and veg parcels. You know, wonderful. Just come. So we've been talking to them and saying, I know there's a cost of living crisis.
Yes.
And even with organizations, it's difficult. But we're saying, you know, well, what can you do? It's for health, it's for well-being, it's fun, it's family. Hey, yeah, that's what's on my mind.
Amen.
Noma, what are you thinking? What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Okay, so I'm trying to pick which one can you share. I'm going through like my mental list. Okay, I'll say what's on my mind is I'm doing a lot of journaling recently. So I started journaling actively in 2019. Yes, I started journaling actively in 2019, but I've been very like, you know, not as consistent with it. And just before we started, you know, they were teasing me about, you know, being a museum and a library. But yeah, so it's in my journals where
we teased her about being a museum and a library, and guess what? She threw it into the archive.
Yeah, it's going there. Today's date. It's going there. Yeah, but I think journaling is actually so why I brought that up is that I've started I've started trying to journal like every day. And I think I found it very therapeutic for me. And people do say it's actually therapeutic. And it's just a place where it helps me to process, you know, the things that I'm not said up, so to speak. Like when I, as I'm writing it, it's getting clearer.
Yeah.
And
then, you lay it out, right?
Yes. And then I start seeing things coming back at me. So it makes me dig even deeper, which connects to what Pastor preached on Sunday about, you know, foundations and things like that. So the deeper you dig, you know, it helps you to uncover things. And, you know, everybody's about personal growth. Mm. And that's what I want for myself. So journaling, yeah, that's what's been on my mind. It's good.
Do you journal?
I do. Yeah.
I think journaling is so, so therapeutic.
Yeah,
I mean, it takes time.
It does.
You need to stop. And sometimes it's a pain. Because you're thinking, oh my goodness, there was something I was going to write. I forgot. What was that? I forgot. But when you read back sometimes, you know, a year later, 2 years, 5 years later.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
You're like, was that me? Did I go through that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know? And it reminds me of that verse again. I always say it. I quote it this way. There's a verse in Psalm 119. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, it was like a film trick. It looked like CGI.
Yeah.
You know, because that for me, that's the way I see it. It's like a, you know what, film tricks, it's CGI. It's like, nah, did that really happen? For real? You know? And sometimes you look back on a journal, on something you've entered, and you're like, wow, Lord, you are good.
Yes. Because, you know, it's just like what Lillian and you were talking about in terms of pausing. You know, we move through things so quickly in life that we forget things. So journaling, I feel like it helps you you know, it helps you hold on to some memories, whether it's the good ones, whether it's the ones that you need to, you know, learn from or whatever it is. So it helps you hold on to things. And it's always a blessing I've found when I've gone back to my journals of 2019. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, is that you? You know, you are so spiritual and deep. Was it that you, you know? So things like that, you know. So it does help. Yes, I'll encourage anyone who doesn't journal. I think it's good. You can pick up during summer, you know, and just process things.
I want to, I don't know, we seem to, you know, anyway, it is what it is. I remember, I used to do this a lot. I'd scribble in my Bible. I'd scribble in the margins of my Bible. I would mark it, I'd underline stuff, and I would circle something and write a word, just a single word. You know, that sort of thing. I used to do that a lot. And then, you know, years later, you're looking through and you see that bit and you're like, wow, what a revelation.
So profound.
That God so loved the world. You know?
Let's play some music, and then when we come back, we'll get into our topic for today. So Pastor Dage,
I was just about to ask you that question. Because it was your recommendation.
Okay, we could do Firm Foundation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Okay, so we're doing Firm Foundation, He Won't by Cody Carnes.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not. Why would He fail now? He won't.
I wish there was a video, like everyone here was in the spirit, moving from side to side, humming. I think the tongues are about to come out. This was about to be something else in here. It's, you know, the lyrics are powerful. The lyrics are beautiful. I mean, I've heard the song before, but it was just today. I think I said I paid attention to the lyrics and not the melody. And yeah, so that's a beautiful song. And it's very amazing to tie into our topic for today. But before I get into that, if you just tuned in, this is Being Mindful. And we explore issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians. We go into emotional well-being, finances, family, careers, anything, everything. Of course, if you want to be part of the conversation, you can just send your questions or comments and contributions to PHBC Radio, or you can hit us on social media. We are at PHBC London. So whether it's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, you can get in touch with us at PHBC London. Again, of course, if you're using the PHBC Radio app, it is so easy. Contact us directly using the button, contact the studio. Okay, so today we are looking at waiting, what to do while we wait for miracles, for healing, for whatever it is. We are all waiting for something. But before we begin into what to do, I was thinking we could discuss what we tend to do or what people tend to do when they are waiting for, you know, the breakthrough or the miracle. So I think for me, one of the things when I think about what we tend to do, the story of Abraham and Sarah comes to mind. You know, God gave a promise. Oh, I'm going to give you, you know, a son. You know, you're going to have a son, and, you know, you're going to have a generation through him and all of that. And years were just going by. And Sarah decided, you know what? We can do this. You know, that's my handmaid over there. You know, let me use my wisdom, my intellect. I think that's what we tend to do when things start to take too long. We're like, okay, I think I can figure this out. I think I can sort this. And usually what then happens is, of course, we know what happened, you know, Ishmael and all the chaos and all of that. So when we rely on our own wisdom to figure out the situation, because we don't want to wait, we tend to create even a bigger problem. So what are the things do you guys think that we tend to do as people in that waiting period that we shouldn't do?
Well, I'm just looking at the definition of wait, what wait means, which is, according to dictionary.com, is to remain inactive or in a state of repose, as until something expected happens, or to be available or in readiness, to continue in expectation, to postpone or delay in expectation. So that's what the word wait means. But as you say, there are times in our humanness that we are in a hurry, you know, and yeah, the world's pace of life doesn't help either. Doesn't teach us to wait. So we try to figure out, and if we're, even though we might wait physically, mentally we're still trying to figure out, well, how can I get this now, or early as possible, or make it happen. And as we know, from our thoughts predict our actions. So, yeah, the waiting, I mean, when looking at this topic, I looked at different various stories and examples in the Bible, and one that really resonated, well, not resonated, but one that really was prominent to me was Hannah, when she was waiting to have a child. As we know, in the end, she had Samuel. But during that waiting period, you know, she was married to, is it Eli?
Elkanah.
And he had another wife. And the first wife, or the other wife, was having children.
Peninnah.
Yeah. Was having children, you know. So it maybe Hannah could have been thinking, okay, God, what's going on? I'm going to make this happen myself, you know. And, but she had the patience to just wait on God. Every day she kept going back and seeking God and speaking to Him, you know? Mm. And do we have that patience?
Mm.
I think when we talk about patience, the other Bible story that comes to my mind is Esau and Jacob as well. Mm. I think that, you know, because when Esau was so hungry, and you know, Jacob was like, okay, I will give you my food if you give me your birthright. And I think waiting, we also have to know that waiting makes us vulnerable. And the enemy knows we are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like if you're waiting for a job and some people come with an illegal mm-hmm. thing and like, okay, if you can help us move this thing around, you mm-hmm. can make a quick buck. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the vulnerability of waiting as well makes us impatient, because that vulnerability is uncomfortable. You know, if you're waiting for a relationship and then somebody's like, okay, come and be my side piece. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, that's fine, because mm-hmm. I just need mm-hmm. somebody to share, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. waiting is vulnerability. So, yeah, I think that's where the problem, you know, in terms of impatience, we want to run away from that vulnerability.
But I think you're absolutely right that there is vulnerability, and the vulnerability is specifically because we don't know the future, and because we don't know the future, we don't have the control.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not controlling it. We can't control, you know, we're now at the mercy of
mm.
dot dot dot. Mercy of time, mercy of the employer, the mercy of the bank, the mercy of the, you know, the pay slip, the mercy of mm. the pay cycle, the mercy of whatever it may be. Mm. We're at the mercy of dot dot dot. And so we don't like to be at the mercy of.
Mm.
There's a vulnerability around that. There's a loss of control around that. And you start getting into loss of control, loss of sense of self, loss of identity, loss of, and sometimes we just go down this rabbit hole and then we rationalize.
Mm.
Mark, we know the Matthew version, but I specifically wanted to read the Mark version, Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And so we say, oh, love him with all my mind, which means I bring my mind to the table. I bring my thinking to the table. I love the way the message says, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer mm. and intelligence mm. and energy.
Hmm.
So we say, you know what, I'm going to bring my sense to the table. I'm going to bring my sense, my experience, my intelligence. I'm going to bring, like you said, my wisdom. I'm going to, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to, yeah, because I mean, you know, God didn't create me with an empty head. So let me think it through. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I know it's a little bit illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very illegal. It's a
God will forgive me.
yeah, exactly. It's a little bit illegal. You know, when you're talking about being the side piece, I mean, I know I shouldn't,
mm-hmm.
but.
Yeah.
And we rationalize ourselves into the butt.
Mm.
You know, it's like Karl Barth. Do you know Karl Barth? Oh, very, very, very regarded. I think it's Karl Barth before I get the name wrong. It's not von Bruden. Very, very, very regarded German theologian. And I mean very regarded. This guy would open his, the guy would write stuff. The stuff he wrote is still in use today in theological mm. colleges. I studied some of his writings. I wrote and quoted him in a number of my essays when I was doing my degree. Karl Barth, very, 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 very well regarded in terms of his understanding, in terms of dissecting the Word of God mm. and seeing what God was saying in context then and in context now and drawing those links.
Mm.
Guess what?
Mm.
Karl Barth was married. And Karl Barth had an open affair with his secretary.
Wow.
I said open. It was no secret.
Wow.
He was like, no. I know. She's my side piece.
Hmm.
Oh my goodness.
God forgives me. She's my side piece. God knows I was going to do it. God's not sure, so I'm doing it.
I mean,
and so there are people
you
who
can
just
argue that, but it's at the same time,
absolutely,
like, really,
absolutely.
What did his wife say?
His wife was she was aghast. She suffered through it. You know, this is 1930s or whatever, 1940s, and this guy. I mean, she was one of the, she came from the culture, the background that said divorce is not an option till death do you part. And as far as I was concerned, that's just abuse. You know, as far as I'm concerned. You know, so we have people like that who just rationalize rather than waiting, saying, okay, you know what? I'm entitled to the best of God. And if where I'm standing is the best of God, then and where I'm standing is the best of God. But no. The best of God, that red Bentley, you know, I want that red Bentley and I want it now. Well, my cousin is going to do some dodgy deal. He's going to rob the bank. Well, at least I didn't rob the bank. I only deposited the money. You know, I didn't steal it.
Yeah, right. That's why you start hearing things about the white lie and assassins and all those things.
And we do that. We rationalize these things. That's certainly one way of coping with weight. Another way we cope in waiting is we worry.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we just open the door, welcome anxiety in, give it the keys, show it where the bathroom is. Yeah. We give anxiety the Wi-Fi password. We say, make yourself at home.
Yeah, I remember I was having, I think it was some weeks ago, like I was, you know, overthinking some things. And I remember sharing it with my mom. And my mom is one of the people I love sharing those kind of things because she'll just start laughing at me. She will just start laughing because she's like, nothing has happened. You have just sat down somewhere and just created an entire event that may not even, you know,
the whole movie scene.
You know, she's like, and so she just laughs, you know, she just laughs at me. So that is actually, in that waiting season, we start to create things, you know.
Yeah, we create scenarios, but what ifs?
Yeah.
What if God doesn't come through? Mm-hmm. What if? What if? What if? I mean, over the weekend, I don't know whether it was Saturday or Sunday. Sunday was yesterday. Yes. Oh, gosh. and I think this is going back to a little bit about what you were saying about pause, Lillian. Because sometimes the waiting is also us pausing, and it's not necessarily always physical or chronological pausing. Sometimes it's the emotional, it's the mental, it's the spiritual, it's the just, will you just pause, just wait, just, it's okay. You know, and over the weekend I was talking about, or I mentioned in passing, the three Hebrew boys, and even then I said it was the four, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who, you know, Nebuchadnezzar said, oh yeah, I'm going to throw you in the fire. I'm like, oh, well, you know, O King Nebuchadnezzar, remember that speech, you know, well, if you throw us in the fire, you know, God is mighty to save us, full stop. And then they say, but even if he doesn't. And part of waiting should be the, I'm not going to, so they were like, we know God is mighty to save us. But then there was also the, and even if, so part of their waiting, part of their not sure what their tomorrow was going to be, part of their uncertainty around the future, was them saying, tomorrow's actually none of my business.
Yeah.
It can go this way or that. Either way, to God be the glory.
And that takes me to, there's one of my favorite psalms. I stumbled upon it years ago, and it was just like balm to my soul. And it's Psalm 31, verse 5, where David says, my times are in your hands. And I think one of the things, and, you know, with the topic, I sat with it a bit before, you know, coming here. And I was like, I was asking myself, because, you know, sometimes when it comes to topics like this, for me, I tend to other it and be like, okay, they are the ones that have an issue with waiting. I don't have an issue with waiting. You know, so I try to actually personalize it. I'm like, okay, what is my fear about waiting? And for me, it was the fear of running out of time. It was the fear of, I'm going to miss the opportunity. So that's when my wisdom wants to take over and figure it out, because I'm like, okay, let me sort this out, because I don't want to miss making that money. I don't want to miss, you know, that friendship. I don't want to miss, you know, that relationship. So there's this constant, I don't want to be late, you know. And living in a social media world as well, we find that it's so easy to start comparing. You know, I remember there was a period I had to stay off LinkedIn because almost everybody, you know, there's this thing on LinkedIn where it says, I'm pleased to announce that I just started a new job at such an establishment. I'm pleased to announce. And after a while, I was like, no, this is not helping my mental health. I'm checking out, you know, because everybody's like, I'm on to the next. I'm doing the big thing. I've bought the house. I'm the executive. I'm, you know, so it's easy. And you start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm running out of time. And so, yeah, I think that's that for me. I realized that was a fear I had, you know, with waiting.
You know, it's a good point that you brought up there about the job, you know, and basically it's FOMO, isn't it? Fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. Something that they mentioned on this YouTube video that I watched today about the pausing was the guy was basically describing what he had achieved. He had started off as a hip-hop artist, and he was talking about the comparison in that world, you know, that would drive you to do more and better than the next person. And then he said, okay, well, you know, I don't seem to be getting ahead, so I'm going to shift into another industry. And he did that, and he found it was the same thing, you know, until he realized that, hold on a minute, he says, you can get to a point where you're seeing what others are doing, and then you realize that your ladder is against the wrong wall anyway. You know, you're chasing what others are doing, but you're not necessarily following what is ordained for you, what's aligned for you. So, and that goes back to the quality of spending time in the pause, the silence, and the stillness to hear and to receive. But what is it really? What's my purpose? What is my life? What's my next step for me? You know, otherwise you can get caught up in that. Well, I'm not going to wait.
The loop.
You know, look, people are going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true. Okay, we're going to take a music break. Lara Martin, the voice of hope. And that's the voice we should be listening to, the voice of hope.
As high as the heavens are above,
one. The break, we actually were talking.
Yeah, they had a pause.
Yeah, we had a pause in the break.
Okay, it's back now. Literally back now.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
What's going on?
The devil is a liar.
Yeah, we need to lay hands probably on the system and everything. And everything. So we were talking about waiting, and we were just sharing about things that we tend to do that we shouldn't, you know, be doing, like getting caught up in other people's races, like rationalizing the wrong things we know that are wrong, relying on our wisdom and things like that. And now we want to take it to the other side, which is what we should be doing as Christians, you know, because there's things the world does, right? But as Christians, what are we supposed to be doing? And so we were going to take it to Pastor DJ again tell us.
Well, it was just you know, for me, thinking about this, when I'm waiting, I typically worship while I'm waiting, typically. It's worked for me. It's a formula that worship always works for God. Mm. Let me just be clear on that. If you're looking for a formula that works for God, worship. You cannot go wrong with worship. And so, Psalm 5 comes to mind. And there's a song that talks about sung to the words of Psalm 5, the King James, first three verses, I believe. And they say, give ear to my words. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Mm. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto you will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. And simply, that whole I direct my prayer and look up is talking about waiting.
Mm.
It's looking up in expectation. It's not just looking up to saying, oh, you know, is the paint on my ceiling doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's looking up in expectation. So what I do is I just worship. Mm-hmm. I send it up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what goes up must come down.
Yeah.
In one way or another, at some point or another, some time or another, sometimes we put God into a box. You know, what I needed, I asked you on Monday. How dare you give it to me on Thursday?
Mm.
I mean, who do you think you are?
Mm.
And then it's like, oh, sorry, I forgot you're God.
Yeah.
You know?
We have to trust your timing. Mm. Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's just worship. Mm. It's just send it up. Send up the worship, you know. Yeah.
That's an important thing, especially because I know another thing that people, or even me myself, I have to be conscious about it, is that I can't start complaining when I'm waiting.
Mm.
I start complaining because I start looking at all the things I'm doing right and how come, you know, I'm still, you know, so I think that is a point of, you know, actually worship. Because when you're complaining, you're not worshiping. You can't even worship because there's now bitterness and anger and all those things on the inside of
reciting
you.
Reciting your CV.
Yeah, you know, I'm a wonderful person.
Yeah.
I mean, I tithed once last 3 months ago.
You know? So Lillian, what do you, or Pastor David has made it what I do. So let me say, what do you do when you're waiting?
My goodness, I'm not patient. I really am not. But God has done a good work in me for years.
Amen.
So it's ultimately knowing that if I go ahead of God, it will be disastrous.
Mm.
So that's always at the forefront of my mind. But yeah, like similar to you, I do a lot of complaining sometimes.
Mm.
Well, God, you know what? Mm. I mean, there are several things that I'm still waiting on God, and I've been waiting on God for years, you know. But the beauty of it is that through the waiting, I've gotten to know God even more.
Mm.
So I always think, okay, well, God, if you're not going to provide for me or give me this in my timeline, okay, what is it that you want me to learn in this time?
Mm.
And I've gotten used to asking him that. And then, of course, waiting on the answer to see, okay, what is it that you want me to learn in this process, in this period? And then capturing that. So that helps me to focus on something rather than what it is that I perceive that I want. And oftentimes, sometimes we think we want or desire certain things which are not really good for us at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you do get them, you're like, oh, is that it?
Like the bright red Bentley.
Yeah. You know, you drive it and then, you don't realize how much it costs to maintain the thing.
No. And, that cyclist accidentally scratches the side.
Mm. Yeah. And then you're like, God, why did you give it to me? Yeah. Like, well, you asked for it. There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I manage. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I mean that's an honest way to put it, because you know, waiting is something, especially when you're waiting for something that you really, really want, it can be very like difficult, and there can be challenges. But I like what you said, because it was also something that crossed my mind today, is that waiting exposes what is on the inside of us. It brings that to the surface. It brings to the surface my pride, you know, that I actually think, God, I'm entitled to these things. I mean, come on, look, you know, check out my CV. I've played by your book, you know, so, you know, what's up? You know, so he exposes the pride in us. He exposes, you know, sometimes it even exposes our, maybe even a lack of self-love. You know, it exposes things. It makes us pay attention. Like, oh, this is actually what is on the inside of you. So waiting is actually something that teaches us and then eventually prepares us for whatever it is, you know, that God wants to give. An interesting thing I want to add to that, you know, which is, you know, kind of maybe not as spiritual as what you and Pastor Didi have said, is that during waiting seasons, although Pastor touched on it with the psalm he read, I cry. And I think it's okay, you know, to cry, because, you know, the Bible describes God as that he's like a father, number one, and then he describes him as a God of all comfort. And I think sometimes, and I remember listening to a sermon of Beth Moore, and it was titled Taking Your Lamentations to God. I think sometimes we are very, you know, certain Christian circles, if you've been in the game, so to speak, for so long, you know, there are certain things, you know, you can't question God, and you can't cry, and you can't be emotional, and, you know, they drag you for all those kind of vulnerabilities, and that's weakness. Where's your faith? But I think it's okay to go before God and cry. I think it's okay to tell him this hurts. I think it's okay to tell him, like, you know, the psalm you said, Pastor Didi, like, how long I'm here lifting my voice and all of that. And he does understand, like, our weariness does not upset him. Because if you're a parent, the weariness of your child does not upset you.
The frustration of your child doesn't upset you.
Yeah.
You know, you're even sometimes, you know, you're looking at your child and you're like, just wait. And, you know, they're struggling to wait. And what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah. So I think crying is, you know, is okay.
Placing as well. Yeah. You know, from an emotional perspective. And if we look in the book of Psalms, you know, the many times that David cried, you know. And it's just being real with God. It's being human with him.
Mm.
And just saying, I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
You know.
Come through.
But sometimes we can also think that, well, if I cry, then that will make God move his hands even quicker. You know?
Yes.
Just like how a child does to a parent. And, you know, you just feel sorry for the child. You're just like, okay, you give in, you know. Mm. And I used to think that.
You thought God was susceptible to emotional blackmail.
Exactly. And it was like, okay, this is not working.
Especially if you haven't gotten it yet, in terms of in that waiting place. You haven't gotten what he wants you to get. Because I remember having a conversation with one of my brothers, and we were talking about something, and he was just saying to me how whatever it is you're going through, that's not the actual thing. The actual thing is ahead, but God is this is coming, and God is like, okay, let me train you with this, because you're going to face something even bigger. And so you'll be able to remember, you know, someone was sharing with me in Jeremiah where God was saying to someone was saying to Jeremiah where he's, I don't know where it is, about, you know, if you're going to trip up just because of
And if you're afraid of these guys, how are you going to run with horses if you can't run and catch these
exactly.
lot? You know?
Yeah. So if God hasn't finished with you in that place, you know, you can cry all you want, but you need to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't get it here, when you're on a bigger stage and on a bigger platform, then you're going to crash.
Yes.
You know? So, yeah.
Wow. I think it is so easy for us to just thinking about this whole thing of emotionally blackmailing God. You know, it's so easy for us as emotionally blackmailing God. It's so easy for us to think, as much as God is touched, he feels what we feel. He gets it. He's not necessarily moved by emotion. He's moved by faith. It's faith that moves him, not necessarily our emotion. And the number of times, you know, you referenced Psalms, number of times David talked about, I cried to the Lord. What's the next line? And he heard me. God hears. God gets it. You know, and I do think, I mean, you know, we're talking about I cried. Jesus, David, Jesus cried. Dude was over Lazarus. Sorry, hold on. Did you know Lazarus was going to, yeah? But he still cried. He felt it. He was like, yeah, you know, I get it. This hurts. This hurts. This is bad. You know? Imagine Martha's situation. And we get into that Martha, you know. And those who don't know, Mary, Martha, sisters, had a brother called Lazarus. Lazarus was sick. They sent a message to Jesus, your friend Lazarus, he's going to die. You know? Jesus was like, yeah, it's okay. It's not unto death. It's all right. Eventually, by the time Jesus got there, 4 days had passed. Dude was in the grave. He was, you know, and in that heat, ooh la la, you know, ooh la 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 la, you know, Martha was it? Yeah, walked up to Jesus and said, "If you were here, my brother would not have died." John chapter 11.
Yeah,
I think it was 33 or 34. If you were here, my brother would not have died. Powerful, powerful, powerful accusation. How did Jesus respond? He wept. He felt the pain, you know, and this was her, in her waiting, knowing that Jesus could, Jesus possibly would, Jesus can, but she was in that waiting, and it turned to frustration, turned to anger, and she took it to Jesus, and Jesus took it from her. He didn't say, how dare, excuse you? You call me rabbi. You know, who's your mate? You know, what is this? How dare you, your insolence? I rebuke you in my name, you know. he didn't play that card. He was like, he got it. I get it. You know. And then who there were only two people that have responded to Jesus this way. He then asked if she believes, and she said, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Only two people ever, entirety of scripture, described him, referred to him, told him, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Number one, Martha. Number two, Peter. Nobody else caught that revelation. Nobody else said those words. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oof. But this is a woman who was like, deep revelation. Whoa, sister. Yeah, she was like, Where have you been?
I came across something that I just want to share. It was Charles Spurgeon. It was a sermon he wrote on Psalm 31:5. And I just saw something and I just wanted to share, and was talking about, you know, the waiting on God. And he said in part, he says, "We shall not die before our time, neither shall we be forgotten and left upon the stage too long." And it just ties to the concern that God has forgotten us and God has, you know, abandoned us. So thank you for sticking with us. We are encouraging you. We know that waiting isn't easy. I mean, even waiting in the GP's office, that can also be a struggle.
Wait for the train.
But God always comes through. He is too faithful to fail. Again, just to remind you that this is it. So we won't be here for another 2 weeks. Hopefully you can catch up online. And as we say, remember to be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.
God bless you.